Before I open us in prayer, there was one prayer request in particular I did mean to mention. Several of you have asked about it, and some of you may not know, Brenda Haught went to the hospital this past week, and they didn't know what it was at first. It turned out to be that she had a gallbladder attack. She had a gallbladder removed. She's still in the hospital. She's very weak from the surgery. There is some concern. They hope it's not going to come to pass, but there's some concern she might develop pneumonia. The doctor's trying really hard to get her up and walking around. She's supposed to walk the halls at least four times today. I did have a conversation with her on the phone this morning, but even that, she loses her breath rather quickly. And so we didn't talk very long, but I know she would appreciate your prayers. And as part of our church family, she's a very special part, as all are. But if you would remember her and Tracy and Robin and others in the family, I know they would appreciate it. Lord, we come before you. We have just heard your word. And in your word, there seems to be a dichotomy here. There's talk in your scripture about what it means to live by the flesh. And there's talk in your scripture about what it means to embrace the fruits of the Spirit. And Lord, in today, there's a context of what freedom is and how that relates to all of this. Help us to understand whatever you desire us to today. And Lord, I love the visual that Linda gave us. As we come to worship and we lift up our hands and we give everything to you. And so, Lord, in order to receive what you have us to receive, we have to worship you in a way that we're willing to give up so we can receive. Help our minds, hearts, and souls to be in that position right now, in a position of giving to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, I'll remind you, we've been celebrating. And just a quick reminder, if you haven't been here each week this month, we started off talking about what celebrating was and the fact that as believers, to really celebrate, we have to celebrate in the context of understanding who God is, what Christ did for us, and it's only then that we can celebrate anything the way God really wants us to. So then the following week, we honored our mothers and we celebrated Mother's Day. And from that, we talked about what it meant to celebrate relationships. And then the week after that, last week, we honored our graduates. And we honored our graduates, we honored their achievements, but we went further than that. We talked about what it meant to celebrate achievements, what it meant to celebrate our achievements, what it meant to celebrate others' achievements. God really does want us to celebrate such things, but there is a context in which God wants us to celebrate. And when we do that, it brings glory and honor to Him, and it provides us with a blessing not that lifts us up, but a blessing in the way that God desires us to live. Today, we're celebrating Memorial Day weekend, and we honor those who have given their life in service to this country. And so as we read Scripture today, and as we look around us today, as we open our hearts today, I pray that God will speak to us through these Scriptures, through the context of where we are today and how we're living, but also where God wants us to continue to go with our lives. So, that being said, I want to begin. You may want to look at your outline, if you choose to. It gives you an idea of where we're going to go. But I want to start by saying that we're going to remember the fallen and the freedom which we have. And as we think about remembering the fallen, I think that we all would agree that there should be a sense of gratitude, of thankfulness. But I want to challenge us. I think that that thankfulness needs to be more than simply a small reminder as we're at a cookout and maybe say a blessing before we ask somebody to pass the ketchup. It's a lot more than that. There was a lot more given, and it deserves a little bit more of our thought and gratefulness and response than simply maybe a day off from work and an extra cookout. So I ask that we consider that. And as we think about that gratitude that we're to have, I think if we really are truly thankful, it helps us to realize that we have a purpose, almost an obligation in a way for those who have made a sacrifice. We have a purpose because of the sacrifice that's been given. And I believe in going along with what the Scripture says, and we'll look at it more closely in a moment, but Scripture says that we are to serve one another. And if you consider those who gave their lives, I don't believe they gave their lives just so that their name might be able to be shared on a day that we call Memorial Day. I believe that they desired to do that to make a difference in our country, to make a difference in the lives of those that were to live on. And so we have a purpose. We have a purpose to continue to serve each other. Those who gave their life did it out of service for you and for me. In order to enable this country to be what God desires it to be, we need to be willing to continue serving each other. We live in a country that, although that's what was given, so many people today seem to live in such a way that they're seeing how much they can get instead of how much they can serve or how much they can give or how much they can help one another. And it would be easy for anybody to jump on that bandwagon and talk about how people aren't doing what they should be doing in this country. But I believe God would much rather see us choose, instead of having that conversation, to be willing to give of ourselves, to serve, to enable this country to be more what God would desire it to be. And that's how we serve each other. That's how we continue to be truly thankful for those who have given to us. The next point I've got there is, I said that I believe that Memorial Day celebration can be or should be inspired by sacrifice. What has been given to us as a result of those who sacrificed, as a result of those who gave up, some of them their homes, some of them their families, at the very least time to go to places they'd never been before and put themselves in danger. What have they given us? These are some of the freedoms we have, if you just think about freedom, and this is just the beginning to give you a taste, but we have freedom of religion. We have freedom of speech. We have freedom to pursue education and careers that we choose. And we, a lot of times, just living our life, assume that that's just a normal thing. That's just the way everybody in the world lives. That's not true. Let's look at it just really quickly. Freedom of religion. We've read in Scripture where we remember that disciples and apostles and other believers that met had to meet in hiding for fear that people were going to come and take them away. That still happens in the world that we live in. There are still people that, in order to worship their God, they have to go behind closed doors. Because if it's found out that they're worshiping God Almighty, Jehovah, they will be taken away, incarcerated, and maybe even killed. We have that freedom because someone saw fit to provide it, to fight for it on our behalf. There's also freedom of speech. We have a right to share our opinion. We have a freedom to share our opinion. And we have that because someone else was willing to fight for that. And you know, they may not have the same opinion that we have, but they fought so we could share what we think and what we feel. But that should be done in such a way that God is leading it, that enables us, as we mentioned earlier, to be in service to others. And then this one, it really hit me when I thought about it today, or as I prepared for today, the freedom to choose your education, to choose your career, to choose what you're doing. Because a lot of us, in the midst of going to school, in the midst of going to college, in the midst of our work day, those become things that we dread. Those become things that we say, we just have to get through it. You realize? And this was when it really hit me. When I began really paying attention to a lot of the backstory of the Olympics. I enjoy the Olympics. I enjoy watching that. And And I'd heard enough about the Olympians from the USA and what an honor and privilege it is to be a part of that, to get chosen to compete. But do you know that there are people in countries, in other countries, that from the time they're born, basically, they're trained to be Olympic athletes, and they have no choice in that. Their parents have no choice in that. It's just believed because of who they are, where they come from, what their genetic makeup may be, that country decides you are going to represent us and you are going to do the best you can and you are expected to win. And if you don't, it's a disgrace on you, your family, and your country. That's not freedom. We have an opportunity for freedom and freedom that we often take for granted. We get to choose our education. We get to choose, for the most part, the profession, the careers, the jobs. In so many places in this world, people either don't have any option to choose any, or they are told what they must do. Those are the freedoms, some of the freedoms, only a small portion of the freedoms that we've been given, and we should be inspired by sacrifice that's been given to recognize what those freedoms are. So what do we do in return? What do we do as a result of the sacrifice that's been made, as a result of these freedoms that have been given to us? I believe what we are to do is our best. We're to do our best at what we are, who we are, and what God calls us to do. And that's how we go back to what we said before and really express our thanksgiving for those who have made sacrifice. And then this leads to the third point. Our celebration, which I've called a living memorial. The way we live can bring honor to the ones who sacrifice so much. Does the way that we live, or the choices that we're making, really honoring others in the way that God would have us to? Now, this was looking at the scripture and looking at the celebration, Memorial Day celebration, from somewhat of a secular point of view. I want to look at it just really quickly again, but I want to look at it a little bit differently. When we say remember the fallen and the freedom which we have, the fallen one that we should really put first is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ went and sacrificed everything for you and for me. And just as we talk about today with the soldiers, the men and women we should be grateful for, we also need to, on a regular basis, be thankful and grateful for Jesus Christ and what He's done. And a lot of times, like as we talked about, being thankful on Memorial Day for service men and women, maybe we're thankful for what God does when we sit down and eat a burger daily, or whatever we have for breakfast and lunch before we ask for the ketchup or salt and pepper. But are we really thankful? And when we think about the purpose of serving one another, I want to go back and look at the scripture that David just read. It comes from Galatians 5, verses 13 and 14. You, my brothers and sisters, are called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. We are to serve one another, and you know what that looks like. You have been served, and you have served. And it makes a difference. And there's so much I wanted to share, but I could do that and it would take way too much time today. I've seen this body of believers serve in a beautiful way in the past week. And I encourage you to continue to do that. And if you haven't, or you're not sure how to jump in and be a part of that, just be open and it'll come. You'll have opportunities this week within this body and within wherever you God takes you this week. There'll be opportunities. We look again at inspired by sacrifice. What has been given to us. As we read the scripture, and it's not something we like to look at, but David Giles, I don't know if you heard it when he left, he looked at me and he said, there's a whole lot of sinfulness in that scripture, as he turned and walked off. And there is. I'm not going to focus in detail by detail on that, but you might want to go back and look at that, because according to what the way I read it and what I understand, we are granted freedom from those acts of flesh based on what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And if we don't claim Jesus Christ on the cross, we can't have freedom from those things. We can struggle. We can try to do the right things. But if God is not a part of it, those parts of the flesh are in some way going to suck us in. And maybe some people can do a better job at fighting it by themselves than others. But nobody can completely escape the actions of the flesh without Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So when we ask what has been given to us, we've been given freedom from the acts of flesh. And what have we been given in return? I keep going back to what Linda just said, and we didn't talk about anything ahead, but you give up the things that can hold you back, and God gives you so much more. And what we're given are the fruits of the Spirit. So this leads to a celebration, a living memorial. And one of my favorite scriptures, if you'd like to turn to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. This talks about a living sacrifice. It says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Our bodies can be a living sacrifice. We are to give to God in that way. You know what the fruits of the Spirit are. I'm going to go through them really quickly, and I just want you to hear. And then after that, I found a summary that someone put, and I should have included the name. I didn't write the name there, but just a brief general description of what each one is. And I'm going to ask that as I do that, you listen to what God may be saying to you about a fruit of the Spirit that He wants to give you more of, a fruit of the Spirit you may be struggling with, a fruit of the Spirit that you have He wants you to use. First, I'll read what the fruits of the Spirit are, and then I'll give a description of each one. These are the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. Love. This word of love doesn't refer to warm feelings, but to a deliberate attitude of goodwill and devotion to others. Love gives freely without looking at whether the other person deserves it, and it gives without expecting anything back. Am I motivated to do for others as Christ has done for me? Or am I giving in order to receive something in return? Joy. Unlike happiness, joy is gladness that is completely independent of the good or bad things that happen in the course of the day. In fact, joy denotes a supernatural gladness given by God's Spirit that actually seems to show up best during the hard times. This is a product of fixing your focus on God's purpose for the events in your life rather than on circumstances. Am I experiencing a joy of life on a regular basis, or is my happiness dependent on things going smoothly in my day? Peace. It's not the absence of turmoil, but the presence of tranquility, even while in a place of chaos. It is a sense of wholeness and completeness that is content knowing that God controls the events of the day. Do I find myself frazzled by the crashing waves of turmoil in my life, or am I experiencing the peace that passes all comprehension, as we find in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. Patience. Other words that describe this fruit are lenience, long-suffering, forbearance, perseverance, and steadfastness. It is the ability to endure ill treatment from life or at the hands of others without lashing, or paying back? Am I easily set off when things go wrong or people irritate me? Or am I able to keep a godly perspective in the face of life's irritation? Kindness. When kindness is at work in a person's life, he or she looks for ways to adapt to meet the needs of others. It is a moral goodness that overflows. It's also the absence of malice. Is it my goal to serve others with kindness, or am I too focused on my own needs, desires, or problems to let the goodness of God overflow to others? And then goodness. While kindness is the soft side of good, goodness reflects the character of God. Goodness in you desires to see goodness in others. And it's not beyond confronting or even rebuking, as Jesus did with the money changers in the temple, for that to happen. So the question, does my life reflect the holiness of God, and do I desire to see others experience God at a deep level in their own life? Three more. Faithfulness. A faithful person is the one with real integrity. He or she is someone others can look to as an example, and someone who is truly devoted to others and to Christ. Our natural self always wants to be in charge, but spirit-controlled faithfulness is evident in the life of a person who seeks good for others, and glory for God. So the question to us there is, are there areas of hypocrisy and indifference toward others in my life, or is my life characterized by faith in Christ and faithfulness to those around me? Gentleness. Meekness is not weakness. Gentleness is not without power. It just chooses to defer to others. It forgives others, corrects in kindness, and lives in tranquility. The question, do I come across to others as brash and headstrong, or am I allowing the grace of God to flow through me to others? And then finally, self-control. Our fleshly desires, Scriptures tells us, are continually at odds with God's Spirit and always want to be in charge. Self-control is literally releasing our grip on the fleshly desires, choosing instead to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. It is power focused in the right place. Your question, are my fleshly desires controlling my life, or am I allowing the Spirit to direct me to things that please God and serve others? As we hear this, as your pastor, as your friend, I encourage you to walk by the Spirit. When we walk by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit itself, and I believe this, I believe in the way I've studied Scripture, that we can claim the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit works in a powerful way in our life. But even if for some reason we haven't understood that, or we haven't reached the point of claiming that, or as Miss Giles would say, we aren't on God's wave beam exactly like He wants us to be, the Holy Spirit is still there. And the Holy Spirit still yearns for us to experience these fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Where are those in your life right now? Are there any of those that, if you really think about it, if you truly were experiencing those, your life would be at a different place? Your day would be different. Your family would be different. That's what God wants for you. And if we will but come to Him, and we may not know how to make that happen, but God, in His own way, will enable that to happen in our lives in a powerful way. He wants that for us. It's freedom from the acts of flesh. And it's a gift of the fruits of the Spirit. don't cheapen the sacrifice Jesus Christ made on the cross by not accepting the gift and choosing to live a lesser life than he has given. I'm going to ask our musicians to come, and we're going to close. The song we're going to close with is "My Country 'Tis of Thee." As we sing about